Hello everyone and welcome to the AstroPH Daily Review podcast by Mikhail Lisakov, episode 13. Today is still 2020, November 11th, and do you want a riddle? What is small, weak, and can cause a lot of trouble? Cats? No. Kids? No, come on. Today we are talking about a paper by Giacomo Venturi with co-authors entitled Magnum Survey, Compact Jets Causing Large Turmoil in Galaxies. So here is the abstract. Outflows accelerated by the radiation pressure and/or magnetic fields of active galactic nuclei or by their kinetically powerful jets are commonly observed in the form of coherent, high-velocity gas directed along the AGN ionization cones and jets. Recent works found that also low kinetic power jets are able to accelerate such outflows. We studied the relation between radio jets and the distribution and kinematics of the ionized gas in IC5063, NGC5643, NGC1068 and NGC1386 as part of our Magnum survey of nearby Seyfert galaxies. These objects all host a small-scale low-power radio jet having small inclinations with respect to the galaxy disk. We employ scene-limited optical and near-infrared integral field spectroscopic observations from the multi-unit spectroscopic explorer at the Very Large Telescope to obtain flux, kinematic, and excitation maps of the ionized gas from the main optical emission lines. We compare such maps with archival radio images and, in one case, Chandra X-ray observations. We detect a strong and extended emission line velocity with enhancement perpendicularly to the direction of the AGN ionization cones and jets in all the four targets. The gas excitation in the region of line width enhancement is compatible with shock ionization. Such broad and symmetric line profiles are not associated with a single coherent net velocity of the gas. A classical outflow component with net blue and red shifted motions is also present, but is directed along the ionization cones and jets. Recent works have found similar line velocity with enhancements perpendicularly to the ionization cones in other AGNs, all hosting, as in the case of our four objects presented, a low-power jet aligned with the cones and showing evidence of being in interaction with the galaxy disk material. We interpret the observed phenomenon as due to the action of the jets perturbing the gas in the galaxy disk. In fact, such intense and extended line velocity with enhancement perpendicular to the AGN cones and jet is observed only in galaxies hosting a low-power jet whose inclination is sufficiently low with respect to the galaxy disk to impact on its material and strongly affect it, as also recent simulations predict. Furthermore, our results clearly demonstrate that even low-power jets, and not only powerful ones, are capable of affecting the host galaxy as found recently. What I liked about this paper is that it does not only present four galaxies, but also has a compilation of already published results, and the authors try to make their analysis and conclusions having in mind all the previous results, and finally they argue with the conclusions made previously. The paper is mainly focused on studying distribution of the oxygen O3 line in four galaxies and in studying net velocity and velocity dispersion for this line in different parts of the galaxies. All these galaxies have something in common. They all, maybe except the last one, have a radio jet which produce ionization cones aligned with their direction. And for all these ionization cones, the ionized material in them has high net velocities, which means that the ionized material actually outflows. In all these galaxies, their jets are pointing approximately in the plane of the galaxy disk. I personally wouldn't like to live in a galaxy like this. The first target in the sample, IC5063, has a one-sided radio jet propagating in the southwest direction. And the authors claim that in the same region, according to the net speed of the ionized material, this material should be receding from the observer. And I see some inconsistency here, because usually when we see a one-sided radio jet, we think that it is approaching us, but the ionized material, which is actually pushed by this jet, is said to be receding. So there might be a mistake in the caption for the figure 2. Besides the net velocity that is derived from the shift of the O3 line, the authors have analyzed the velocity dispersion, which is measured from the width of this line. And in all four targets, the velocity dispersion is largely increased in the direction roughly perpendicular to the jet. The authors have used the ratio of different ionization lines to get an idea which mechanism is responsible for the ionization in different parts of these galaxies. In the cones that are aligned with the jet direction, the ionization is mostly AGN-driven. And in the perpendicular direction, it is shock-driven. And this holds for all four targets. The authors point out that in their Magnum survey, they have another galaxies, for example, which do not host a radio jet. And in these other galaxies, the ionization emission lines are much narrower, which means that the velocity dispersion is also small. As I said before, the authors have included a lot of previously published results in their paper and also discussed them. In some of this previous research, these perpendicular structures are explained with the radial outflow from the accretion disk or the torus. But in that case, there should be some net velocity of this outflowing material, which is not observed in this research. The authors have estimated the mass of the ionized material in these perpendicular structures and the kinetic energy of this material. And according to their calculations, the kinetic energy of the jet is 2 to 4 orders of magnitude higher than the kinetic energy in this ionized material. So even a low-power jet is capable of producing such high velocity dispersion. But unfortunately, the authors give no physical explanation on how these jets can actually increase the velocity dispersion in, for some cases, very thin layer perpendicular to the jet. I personally would expect, if the jet is responsible for the for higher velocity dispersion, to see it everywhere around the jet. But this is not observed in these four sources, which is good, I think, because we still have a question to answer. So check out the paper if you want more details. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow.